For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. The Royals were off yesterday. They're back at it tonight to be in a homestand at Kauffman Stadium. The Colorado Rockies in town. Chris Bubich, that's good news, on the bump for the Royals tonight. His 1.88 ERA, 640 first pitch here on 96.5 The Fan. That means Vern's on deck show coming your way at 5:30. Just got the text from Vern. I'll be handing out a bet or two with him this evening during the On Deck show.
You're 2 for 3 right now selections?
Correct.
Good ratio.
I did not do one on Saturday because the game was an earlier start time and I was on the air still. So,
and up good Vern. Units.
So far, you and I have done well on the pregame show.
I've only made the 2 picks, so I'm sure I'll be up sometime
this week. The Rockies, if you were wondering, 4-17 on the season. The Royals, of course, 9-14.
Next up on What's Trending, Pete Schrager saying that the Browns and Giants are both fielding calls for picks 2 and 3, while other rumors are circling that maybe Shadur and Jackson Dart could be going earlier than some people were expecting in the early going. Matt Miller saying he's hearing it might be more of an action-packed round and some of that smoke could start up now. So we'll see. Seems like there's starting to be some smoke. This is the latest that nobody has traded their first-round pick ever in NFL draft history, at least modern draft history. So that really stands out, at least on that end. But yeah, maybe the Browns and Giants are entertaining quarterback with those picks again instead of what we always thought it was going to be, which was Hunter and Carter. Now, if all of a sudden Hunter's sitting there at 4 for the Patriots, borderline their dream scenario.
They need
help at corner and wide receiver.
Yeah, that'd be a very good thing for them. And for the Chiefs, even that high, the more quarterbacks, of course, that get taken in general is a great thing, right?
Yeah,
I think there's going to be 3
first-round quarterbacks.
Be awesome. If there's 4, that's one less. That's one player that's obviously going to slide more than you thought. So that would be something to keep an eye on Thursday as well. Elsewhere, NBA playoffs continue. Last night, a couple really good games. Finally, thank you. Finally got some good games. The Pistons and Knicks. How about Detroit? Their first playoff game that they've won in like 18 years, all right? 194 win against the Knicks. They've evened that series up. Also, the late one, if you stayed up late, Clippers, Nuggets, another really, really competitive game. The Clippers have tied the series up at a game apiece with a 105-102 win. Tonight, 3 games in action. Bucks, Pacers, where the Pacers are up 1-0. Thunder, Grizzlies, the Thunder won by 50-plus in the first game. And also the Timberwolves, Lakers, Minnesota up 1 game. That one doesn't start till like 9 o'clock tonight, though.
That is a late one. Next up on What's Trending, people are keeping an eye over in 49ers camp. One, there was the rumor today, Devontae Adams said the 49ers really tried to get him, but they wanted to pay discount prices, not retail. So he ended up with the Rams instead. But Brock Purdy did show up to the 49ers voluntary offseason workout. Some thought he might skip amid his contract talks with the San Francisco 49ers. But George Kittle did not, who was also wanting an extension and a pay rate increase from the San Francisco 49ers. They still feel like they're kind of stuck in a weird spot where they're kind of trying to pay everybody, not pay everyone, trade everyone, not pay everyone. Like, I don't know where they are fundamentally as an organization. They're one of the most confusing teams this offseason to me. But Brock Purdy at least showed up. So even though he's in contract talks, he's still working.
Last thing on What's Trending, of course, our Cody and Gold road trip coming up in less than 2 weeks. Saturday, May 3rd, we're driving down to Springfield as the Royals AA affiliate taking on the Cardinals AA affiliate, and we're watching Jack Caglione, who's hitting 258. Four homers, 20 RBI so far. They were off yesterday, by the way. We hope to see all of you in Springfield. If you want to purchase our special $10 ticket deal, head to 96.5thefan.com. Right on the front page, you'll see the road trip logo. Click on that. Purchase your tickets. You can sit with all of us. We hope to see you guys down there. Plus, if you are going down there and you want a t-shirt, you do have to order those by tomorrow. They will be available for pickup in Springfield, but you need to order them and prepay for those. If you want the link to order the shirts and you're going on the road trip,
like somebody just bought tickets, yep, you haven't purchased a shirt yet, if you don't want, if you want them.
913-586-7965 is the text line. You text that in, say, hey, I'm looking for the t-shirt order form. I just bought my tickets to go to Springfield. We will send you the link to the form. It'll have the details to Venmo payment, and then you will pick them up at Harbell's, which is a bar not too far from the stadium. We'll be hanging out there beginning at 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, May the 3rd. So we hope to see all of you. We just had, as you said, a few more people sign up. 115 listeners already signed up to join us.
So 119 of us total right now scheduled to go down to Springfield. It's gonna be fun. We just want to make sure you have the opportunity to understand where to get the shirts. Like he mentioned, at Harbell's before the game from 3:30 to 5. You order those by tomorrow. As in, I'll put the order in for the shirts tomorrow. If you need that form and you've already purchased tickets, just let us know. We'll happily text that to you at 913-586-7965. Or we can send it to you on the socials at Cody B. Tapp, at Alex Gold. We want to make sure anybody who wants a shirt gets a chance to get one. We understand, you know, it's two different links, so it's kind of a pain in the ass, but we want to make sure that you have a chance to do it. It's going to be an awesome time. 119 people, dude. That's a lot of people wearing CAG shirts sitting in our seats, by the way, in case you hadn't looked at the map, are all behind the third base dugout because we want CAGs to see us. One lucky listener, which we'll draw at Harbell's, will get a chance, we think. We'll get a chance to throw out the first pitch, which will be awesome, at least on that end. So we got to figure out that end. But somebody's going to get to throw out the first pitch.
That's
isn't us.
That is true.
Won't be me, Gold, or Drew. It'll be one of you lucky listeners who wants to. I'm not going to force somebody who doesn't want to. Throw it out.
Your name gets picked. You better be throwing.
Like it or not, you're under pressure. But it'll be a great chance to do it. We're planning on Alex and I staying down there that night, so might be able to have some fun after.
Yeah, Dusty's coming down with us too. So yeah, we'll be hanging out. At least three of us will be hanging out over somewhere after the game as well. So hope to see you guys down in Springfield. Let's talk about the big league club though here for a little bit. Earlier today we had the general manager of the Royals, JJ Piccolo, join us. We'll play some of that conversation again coming up at 1:30. But they begin a homestand tonight. We all know the road trip was abysmal, right? They went 2-8. They begin a homestand tonight. The Rockies are in town, a 4-win team. Their offense, believe it or not, is worse than the Royals offense. And this kicks off a stretch. If you look at the next 25 games or so, 22 of those are against teams that are in fourth place or worse. 25 game stretch also only right now, standings change, right this second, only one team in that series is over 500 of the next 25 games, and that's the Boston Red Sox. Point being, if there was a time for this team to show that they can get the bats going, that they can make up ground after digging themselves a hole with the 2-8 road trip, this is the next 25 game. This 25 game stretch is that, right?
But the car is not worse than the Royals. As of this weekend, Royals are the worst offense in baseball.
Well, there you go.
I had not checked the Rockies' run total
this
weekend.
They're still 29th or something, right?
Yeah, they're in the bottom four. They're, I don't know, a hundredth of a runoff from the Chicago White Sox. So, yeah, they're still bad.
But this kicks off the stretch of 25 games of teams that are similar to you in terms of record. But frankly, on paper, I think we all understand the Rockies will be a worse baseball team this year than the Kansas City Royals. So this is a perfect series. You have the pitching edge against most teams. You definitely have it. This series, not even close, against the Colorado Rockies, beginning tonight with Chris Bubich.
We calling for full sweep?
I'll take two out of three, man.
I want to be greedy and just be like, yeah, full sweep. Let's do it. But I do think two out of three is enough to feel like you're back on the right track. But that requires you taking two out of three in the next series, too, against the Astros. The idea, though, like, this is how you proved to me that last year, because this is the thing that's stuck in everyone's mind. Let's just be honest. The thing that's stuck in everyone's mind is that last year was the fluke. that the previous year they won 56 games, that the year before that they won like 60 or whatever, right? Or not 56. They won like in the 60s, right? They just weren't a good team. The last two, three, 4 years before that, with some of the same players, not all the same players, but some of the same players. And that last year is more the fluke rather than the rest. But last year had pitching, and the previous years didn't. The offense, on paper, is identical to a team last year that got some things done. I do think that this stretch where they're facing the Rockies, a bad team, in my opinion, the Rays, a not very good team, the Orioles, who are struggling, the White Sox, who stink, like all the teams you just mentioned, other than the Astros, who they do have a couple of times, this should be a stretch of games in which you get healthy again.
They've put themselves
in a spot. You climb
yourself
back to 500 over this next 20 to 25 games. Because if you have another 10 and 15 stretch, well, then you're 10 games below 500. Right. And how are you making that back up as the season goes on?
Right. And that's why they, because of the road trip they just had and some of the struggles they've had against these quality teams, they are positioning themselves again, yet again, that they need to kind of dominate these what are perceived to be lesser opponents. The Rockies, you mentioned them, the White Sox, and really most of these teams in this 25-game stretch. So you said only one team right now, and as of right this second, is above 500 that they're going to face in the next 25 games. That's the Boston Red Sox. Maybe there's a few more when it happens.
What's the Boston score? Are they still in first place in the East?
I haven't checked on an update standings in a bit. Not quite sure.
I just thought, if
they're two games above 500, they're a game and a half at the back of the Yankees.
Okay, so like they're above, they're the only team above 500 and just barely. I'm not saying the Orioles are 9-12. They're only 2.5 games back of the Red Sox. But the point is, none of these teams are playing night and day. And here goes back to the other part, which is the Royals right now. Their pitching should be that of a first place team. Like I just told you that the Royals, as of this second, have the worst offense in baseball. That's not great. Admittedly,
it is actually by definition the opposite of not great.
It's quite bad.
Great. It's the worst in baseball currently. Now, I still will say this, and not that this is going to make people feel great. I don't think it's going out on a limb. They are not going to be the worst offense in all of baseball this season. Now,
no.
The difference and the question that we all have, okay, but what are they going to be?
Are they
going to
be the 22nd? Because that's also
Are they 26th? Are they 23rd?
Because if they're 17th, I've got no problem here. That was always the plan. That was always the survival plan. If they're 17th for the next month, Gold, then we can start talking about outfielders they should target to make their offense better in the second half of the season. And we're just doing completely different things.
That's why it's a big 25-game stretch. For that conversation in 30 games not to be about who they could be already looking to sell, they've got to have a very nice 25-game stretch, and they can't view it as a 25-game stretch. We can as fans and as media. But for this week, you just view it as this entire week, this homestand against the Rockies and the Astros. Can you have a winning homestand? You have to have a winning homestand.
Somebody's saying, I know a guy in the minors right now. Bring him up. Got great power.
I know that guy too, and he hasn't played right field yet.
I'm going to need him to go ahead and stay down to the minors until at least bare minimum. I think just to get the seasoning he needs at bare minimum, May 3rd.
It's weird. I
don't know why that date sticks out, but I don't want him anywhere near the bigs till at least May 3rd, you know?
I happen to know that same player, and people want him to play right field, and I'll just tell you, he still has never played in the outfield in his professional career.
I mean, in almost no uncertain terms, any member of the Royals organization or person who covers the Royals has made it pretty clear. So unless they're just straight up lying to me, all of them, in different conversations, Jack Caglione will have to play right field before he makes the big leagues. You will see him play right field in a minor league game before he is a big league player.
And that
so
may
while
not
he
happen
continues
until
to play
he's
first,
in
I don't AAA. Think it will happen until he's in AAA. Yeah. And he won't be in AAA until at least May 4th.
Hopefully.
Is it? I guess here's the question as it goes to the road trip. We have a great relationship with Royals General Manager J.J. Piccolo. If you missed our conversation with him, we'll replay that at 1:30 today on the show. I've never asked, I don't believe, J.J. Piccolo for a favor.
He's not going to make organizational decisions based on the road trip.
That's a couple of games. No. Dude, it's a couple of games. It's not fundamentally changing your development plan for him. I'm just asking, if you're thinking about calling him up on May 2nd, don't do that to me. Don't do that to me. That would be hurtful. That would feel personal. If you on May 2nd send him to Omaha and we're just like kicking in our CAG shirts in Springfield. Look, we'll still have an awesome time. Don't get me wrong, but don't think it's going to happen, by the way. I think he's staying in AA till like June.
This is next in the hypothetical list for Cody. Is I can convince the Royals general manager to change, to make an organizational decision.
That was a question. I said, do you think he would listen on that?
You know, we wanted to really call him up, but I remember there's this road trip. Got to wait 4 more days. Sorry. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I did see that those guys I like from Kansas City did have a plan to go watch him. So I'm going to let them watch him first. feels like is a conversation the Royals organization will never have.
That's right.
If you want to go on the road trip, 96.5thefan.com. We already told you earlier in the segment about how to get the t-shirts separately from that. So,
all right, let's get to all 32. But let's make it a draft edition. The draft just a couple days away. First round, Thursday night. Hope to see you guys at the landing in Liberty. I was looking at the running backs that are available, and we've talked a lot about like our favorite backs, realistic for the Chiefs, right? Ashton Gentry's not realistic for the Chiefs.
I don't think so. Someone did say they had a dream last night that they traded all the way up to 6 to get
him. That's a nice dream. I would not want them trading up to 6 to get him. No.
Would it take 2 first-round picks? Like, the following this one?
Yes, I think so.
That'd be wild.
Whatever the draft chart
that,
says
then,
online.
Can they just take Membo or something?
That'd be the better pick. Anyway, I was looking at first-round running backs. I actually think 3 of them are going in the first round. Genty, I think Campton's going to go. I would love for him to be at 31. I don't think he'll make it there out of North Carolina. And then a third, it's all over the place, but I think we see a third. Maybe it's Travion Henderson. Maybe you think it's the kid out of Iowa. Maybe you think it's your guy out of Ohio State, the other Ohio State running back in Judkins. I think a third running back goes in the first round heading into Thursday night.
I think part of the reason I agree with you is that I told you that the NFL goes in trends, and last year's NFL trend was running backs are back, baby. We love them. Look at what they're doing to carry these teams. We're paying guys. We're bringing in Derrick Henry. It's making a difference. We're bringing in Saquon. It's making a difference. It felt like the part of the theme from last year was like the year before is like, we got Christian McCaffrey. Look at us go. That these teams might buy themselves back into. They matter in the offense again. I think part of the reason is because teams are playing deep. I think there's a legitimate reason why running backs were more effective last year. And it's because everyone switched to this too high safety looks where they'll never give up a 20-yard pass in an effort to let you run 7 yards a carry. So you're probably onto something there. I'm going to talk about Drew's team, specifically their plan, because I saw Pro Football Focus list today of the 5 most, they think, important teams to get the draft right for their team success over the next few years. And Cincinnati was on there, and I agree with the list for the most part. It mentioned the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans and the Cincinnati Bengals as teams that would fall in this category. I have been looking at mocks like anyone else, and there have been a ton, a borderline unusual amount of mocks that keep mocking guard to the Cincinnati Bengals. Tyler Booker and a few other guys. And a part of me thinks, you know what? Honestly, accept your fate. It doesn't have to be a guard. But isn't the craziest thing with their first round pick to just take another offensive player? They've already accepted being a bad defensive team in an effort of being a supercharged offense. Supercharge it to the max. If that's what you're doing, protect Joe Burrow so he never is so much gets a whisper into his ear. Have all the offensive weapons in the world and just make them the world's greatest offense rather than worry about defense, because they've already accepted that as their game plan going into the year, in my opinion.
Did you see Jalen Hurts got engaged to Burrows?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Seems related. Burrows.
I said Burrows.
Apparently they're not related.
Yeah. Congrats to Jalen Hurts and Burrows.
I think you're right, Cody. Guard would make me throw up. Tackle, not so much. Because if you bookend, you know, the left tackle, secure the future, I think it's not bad.
So if it's tackle, you're okay.
If it's like Kelvin Banks, great. Fine. I can get behind it. Guard, absolutely not.
Part of me thinks just like, if that's who you're going to be, just be that. Be the best at that. That was part of their problem last year. They weren't the best at that because Joe Burrow was still getting beat up. They've got one of the league's better running backs. They've got the league's best receiving core. Take a tight end. Take Colston Loveland. Like, just go all the way.
They just picked Gesicki. I think they're okay.
I'm not worried about Cincy. You guys can stress about them and their draft. I'm not worried about their draft.
Do you think that they're one of the more interesting teams in the league?
You're right that they have to nail it.
We talked for months about, well, they're just going to nail every defensive draft pick. And so if they drafted a guard, it would be funny. That's all.
It would be funny. It'd be gross.
Yeah, they should take a guard in the third round.
That would be pretty funny.
I think the Bengals might be a part of this. I think there's going to be a stretch in the first round where it is defensive line, defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. Somebody's going to trade up. Whether it's the Chiefs to get an offensive lineman, who knows? But if it's somebody else, I feel like, because if you look at the needs, Falcons need an edge. Cardinals need an edge. Bengals need an edge. Seahawks need an edge.
Chiefs need
an edge. Guess what the Buccaneers need? An edge. You know, I think there could be a stretch of 4, 5, 6 defensive linemen in a row. We see a cluster of 8 and 10 picks where if you need a defensive line and you're the Eagles or you're the Chiefs or you're somebody else or the like the Bills and you want to move up, then maybe there's a guy that you like and there's going to cause a trade, I think, at some point in the first round to get up into the early 20s and take a defensive lineman, whether that's Nolan, Harmon, who knows. I just get the feeling because defensive interior in particular, but I think there's going to be a run where they just start coming off like the wide receivers do and everybody's scrambling a little bit.
Can I toss in a bonus? All 32, we're usually talking about the other teams. I saw this quote come out of Buffalo and I just thought it was interesting. Josh Allen said that for his own mental health or whatever, he's just fully off social media. So he's just gotten off it, right? He got engaged to his movie star girlfriend, or now fiance, off of social media. Said he didn't know, as a result of that, that they had re-signed Tre'Davious White days ago. Said he was in the locker room, caught a look at him, and then asked the equipment manager, like, hey, just to check, that's Trey, right? And he's like, yeah, that's Tre'Davious White. He showed up to the facility, not knowing a guy he had played with, was back on the team, and then he's like, I know him, right? I just want to be sure before we're all crazy that's Tre'Davious White. Isn't that wild? Could you imagine just not even knowing your team signed a guy?
That is a bit crazy. That is a bit
crazy. Do they not send out a group chat to the starting quarterback? I guess not. I don't know.
You think every signing they send a text to everybody about who got signed and cut?
Josh, we need you to sign off on this one. You know, we need your approval.
So, like, if it was a wide receiver, would he not have known?
No, he would have known about a wide receiver.
He would have known.
It's a defensive player. They don't need to let him know.
Well, I mean, it's like
it's also not like the biggest signing on earth. You know what I mean? It's like they traded for TJ Watt. Oh, by the way, Josh.
No, somebody would have sent him. I guess what's funny is like not a single teammate sent him like traded and sent him a text and been like, man, I'm so happy to be back with you, Josh. Can't wait to be back with the Bills or some other teammate. Be like, hey, man, we got Trey back. That's awesome. You don't have to be on social media to be a part of the team group chat.
But he's back on a 1-year deal, right? It's like it's not like. He's been a very good player for them, but he's back on
Josh
a 1-year deal.
Josh Allen doesn't care about anything as long as it gets him to a Super Bowl. Like, hey, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
I do. Like, he has been so great in the playoffs, and I'm not denying that. I don't know what it is. I do worry sometimes that if you're just, like, too much of, a sweetheart, if that's going to keep you from winning it
all. He doesn't have that dog in him.
Like, I don't know if that, but he doesn't play like that.
There we go.
So I get confused with him because he doesn't play like that, right? He doesn't play like a guy who doesn't. I mean, he plays like a guy who will do anything for an inch. So,
yep.
He just seems like a nice guy off the field. Who was it? Oh, what? Drew, you'll remember this probably. A quarterback prospect this year, I think it was a quarterback prospect this year, said he doesn't want to be friends with any, it was a quarterback, because he said, I don't want to be friends with any other quarterback. I want to hate them all from like a competitive end. Might have been Sanders. Sounds like something.
Yeah, but he's boys with Cam Ward.
So it wasn't Sanders? Who was it?
Williams in the NFL already said, I don't want to be friends with other quarterbacks. I want a competitive advantage.
Maybe that's what it was.
Okay. Of the Chicago Bears.
Okay, Caleb Williams said it. You're just going to be enemies with everyone. Way to win.
He also said Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback he's ever seen play. So he's nice to Aaron Rodgers.
Caleb Williams was, quote, I think the NFL game has become very friendly, and I don't necessarily want to be friends because I want to keep that competitive advantage.
I agree with that. Post game, what's up, man? How's it going? I don't want to talk to you.
No,
otherwise.
That's too friendly. He's not talking about on the field. He doesn't even think like Josh Allen Mahomes should be kicking off playing golf. He just wants to not be your friend.
Oh, yeah. So he's like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, pretty much.
It works for Jordan.
He's a killer.
I mean, it worked for Jordan. I just don't think it works for everybody. Better be your actual personality, I'll say.
That is all 32. Draft edition. Here on Cody and Gold. Up next, we'll get to the random question of the day and what could now factor into who gets automatic bids in college football's playoff system. We'll tell you next. We'll get to the random question of the day here in about 8 minutes. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. College football's been in the news recently because of the transfer portal stuff and the situation
closes
involving
today, right?
Tennessee's quarterback and NIL
later
updates and
that's UCLA's quarterback
and NIL legislation and what's going to happen. The College Football Playoff Committee is holding their spring meeting in Dallas right now, and it doesn't mean this is going to go into effect today or next year. But Brett McMurphy's been reporting that one of the concessions to try to get something done with requirements for who gets automatic bids and how that process is determined. One of the concessions could be that the teams that would become automatic qualifiers would have their win and loss considered, wins and losses considered, but also their TV ratings. One, I think this already happens to a certain extent. The other part is now they're going to put it in writing. Now it's going to be out there. We're openly talking about this. This is terrible, even though I still think when we all look at the college football playoff rankings, we all say, oh, well, that team got this because they are blank, Ohio State, or they're whoever. So I think this is happening anyway, but now they want to make it specific. It's another way for these conferences, two in particular, to guarantee their teams have a better shot in the dance. And you know which two conferences we're, of course, talking about. The two biggest and the two biggest moneymakers, and that's the SEC and the Big Ten.
The question I mean, first, this is obviously, and I know you would agree, this is the quiet part out loud. This is the, we all assume and already knew that no matter how many times you would try to claim to us like, no, it's only about the teams, the name on your jersey doesn't matter. It does, and it always has. But now you're just making it official. You know what this is? This is repackaging. This is repackaging of the exact same thing the SEC and the Big Ten just tried to do. It just sounds less bad than, we want more automatic qualifiers than you, which is what they wanted before. And instead they're like, well, I mean, you'll have the same right to it as us, just as long as you also have the TV ratings of the two most popular conferences with the most popular teams in the country. And I think when you start looking at it that way, it's the identical repackaging of it. This is a horrible idea for college football. Do they not? Like, I think this is the part that gets me. And we've talked a little bit about this because I don't think college players being paid or the 1,000,000,000 players in the transfer portal is what's hurting college football. If you try to create two super leagues and leave everybody else out, where we've already gotten rid of natural rivalries, which I thought were a big part of it, you have essentially carved it up to nothing else but the Big Ten and the SEC matter because we have all the programs that people know and nothing else is a factor. It's the Super League, in my opinion, of what they tried to create in European soccer that eventually got shut down. That's what it feels like to me. And that, I just do not think that's a good way to go about business.
Yeah, I mean, the first text we have is like, this isn't fair. Oh, no, exactly. Of course it's not. This is where we've been
and
trending.
It's not even like hiding. It's just taking it away.
Yeah, this is something that's being discussed in Dallas right now at their spring meetings. And of course, it's not, if you're someone that's a KU or K-State fan in the Big 12 and you want the conference to be stable and you want it to survive long term, stuff like this is another uphill climb that conference would have to go through in order to get teams. Now, this is just for automatic qualifiers. This doesn't mean you can't have Big 12 teams or teams with lesser ratings get in the dance, but automatic bids, basically, let's be real. What happened is people were upset Boise State got a damn automatic bye this past year. That's what happened. They were upset.
Like, well, your ratings are too low, but they deserved to be in it.
They did not like that a team like Boise State in the Mountain West was able to get an automatic qualifier. And then when they lose, everybody's like, well, see, they didn't deserve it. And that's also annoying. But that's where this is coming from. Plus, the Big Ten and SEC for a while have been trying to make sure they get a bigger piece of the pie that is the expanded college football playoff.
You know, and I understand they're like looking out for their own interest. That is technically their jobs. Okay? I'm not even pretending like that's not part of their jobs. But can we just be honest here? That like, if you allow them to do this the rest of college football, you've effectively ruined the sport and any level of even borderline equality. Their equality doesn't already exist. They have more money than you, more resources, get the better players, like all of it. And then now, in addition to it, they're like, well, now we get more college football playoff teams. Like, it's not even pretending. It's not even pretending in any kind of balance. It's just openly doing the thing that we all hate the most. And it just, and I've already told you, Drew, and I know you disagree, of all that, let's just consider it one of the major professional sports, NHL, NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. And let's say college football is fifth as the, you know, because it's a bigger revenue generator than, you know, NWSL or the MLS.
Oh, yeah.
They are the least balanced, as in least chance, least amount of teams, percentage of teams than any other league. They are the least competitive league.
You just mean
from a championship perspective.
The entirety of college football.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I agree with that.
It's the least competitive out of the five majors.
Oh, yeah.
And
so, just watch the college football Saturday.
So let's just make it more. Let's just widen that gap. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You should be looking for ways to make it more competitive.
Well, the problem, so you're saying, again, that the the Big Ten and the SEC, the problem is they're looking out for their own interests, but those people who are looking out for their best interests are the ones who are in charge of the entire thing, which is the problem. Like, there's nothing wrong with Greg Sankey wanting to do what's best for the SEC, as he should, or Brett Yormark for the Big 12, as he should. But the problem is that the NCAA has sat on their hands so much that there's no governing body, if you will, that is in charge of this thing. And instead, it's the TV executives, it's athletic directors, it's college football commissioners that only care about their best interests, not the best interest of the sport itself. The thing that's interesting is that the new contract that's coming up with the college football playoff and ESPN, part of the contract that was agreed to is the Big Ten and the SEC technically have the final say over what happens in the format. They already messed this thing up totally and completely. I think the best situation given that contract is them to just see the teams. Like, Boise State deserved to host a playoff game. They were ranked 8th in the final college football playoff rankings. They just happened to get a bye. Should they have gotten a bye? Probably not. I'm fine with reseeding. I think all of us are. It's just a matter of figuring out a way to make it work without having to include something that is so external from what is actually happening on, like, the football field. Like, if Boise State deserves to host a playoff game, they deserve to host a game, but TV ratings shouldn't impact them having to go on the road or from them hosting. I think that's just a load of BS.
The Big Ten and the SEC and probably the Big 12 and Pac, not Pac-12 anymore, yeah, but those, more than anything, they want anything to count except a win.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem like the stupidest conceivable way to go about it? They want anything to count but wins. I want how many eyeballs are on there, how many stars my, they want anything to count towards their favor except winning an actual football game. The single most important part, I would argue, of any of this. They want to devalue the win. Like, it just seems like a crazy, crazy way to go about business, and it's all in the effort to get more teams in. And it's like, I understand why they as a business, yeah, are doing it, but if you're college football or the rest of college,
it's
football,
not good for the sport.
No, but again, this all began...
Concede to Texas and Oklahoma. It goes the same way as, yeah, it does the Big 12. You just once, yeah, again give power to two people.
This all began 15-plus years ago. The first schools that left for realignment started all this. And I'm not saying that those schools, some of them didn't end up in a better spot, but realignment, when schools were willing to end rivalries, to end tradition and all that for the sake of money, and I understand why they did it, but when that decision was made,
yeah,
it was over. It was over.
That's fair.
Well, and here we are.
It's getting worse.
There's even rumblings now that Utah wants to join the Big Ten.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know how freshly real that after, is, but that's fine.
I think Utah, whatever, hates the Big 12. I think that's
their fans certainly do. Their fans, yeah, don't like that the Big 12 tournament's in Kansas City and all that. That's fine. Let them go.
I mean,
that's
they
fine.
Were lucky to get in the Big 12. Now all of a sudden they're like, we'd like to be, I'm sure you would like to be in the Big 10. So would every team in the Big 12, to be clear. Any team in the Big 12 right now would leave tomorrow for the Big 10.
They should, at least. They should.
If the Big 10 called Kansas and they didn't take it, I'd be like, are you guys idiots?
Well, they would take it, yes.
In a second.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would, like every team.
Well, of course. Interestingly enough.
Which goes back to the two super conference model that people have been rumored, you know, been talking about for years, which is eventually we're just going to have a national championship of teams that are in the Big 10 and SEC, and then there'll be another championship of everybody else.
But then will it still be the TV ratings? Because then, know, it just favors the same teams that were already in there.
Exactly.
It, yeah, just favors Alabama and Georgia and Florida and all the ones that, you know, like, it just, ratings should have nothing to do with the college football playoff.
From
zero.
From the 8-1-6, if you don't mind, real quick. Someone said Boise State didn't deserve to make the playoffs. They play in a joke conference. The way that college football is set up, it gets one of those teams, and also, mind you, Boise State was ranked 8th in the country. 8th in the country at the end of the season.
Had a Heisman Trophy runner-up.
The committee didn't have to do that. They almost beat Oregon on the road, who, yes, they got housed by Ohio State, but at the same time, they also went undefeated and won the Big Ten. So the fact that they don't deserve to make the playoffs is just ridiculous. I think the SEC and the Big Ten is trying to include everybody. The way that the format is going to work going forward is they're always going to get more than the Big 12 or the ACC. So the Big 12 and the ACC should just take what they can before they don't have anything at all. I think that's the best way to salvage things, at least in terms of the way that things are currently.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate it for the sport.
It does suck.
Random question.
The random question today brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. So for you, Gold, you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. Of course, you can hit us up on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show 4 hours every single day. If you want to catch us on video, You can do that. Gold's wearing his Masters quarter zip. I'm wearing a Royals hoodie. If you're just curious what we look like in general, that's all available over on those video streams.
You might be disappointed.
And we'll interact with the, you know, I never know. Alex is a single guy, you know. Go shoot your shot in the YouTube chat. You know, see what happens. That's not what
Please
the random question is about.
Don't do that.
You don't think the YouTube chat? By the way, many people have shot a shot in a live stream chat, I'm sure.
I know the demographics of who listens to the show, and I appreciate each and every one of you. I would say the math is not in my favor of who I would want reached, you know, based off of the...
You mean like the 85% male audience?
Yeah,
or
that's what I'm getting at. Yeah.
You're saying... You're still just women for now is in your dating pool. Just checking.
For now. What?
I'm just being silly. All right. So the random question I have today is a spot I found myself in, you know, like, you know, once a week or whatever. You know, you're just laying around. You can't sleep.
All right. Just be honest. What kind of help do you need?
No, I don't need help.
What kind of help
do you need? This is a question related to this. This time, not help. But, you know, like every once in a while you can't sleep in the middle of the night.
Sure.
It's like 3 a.m.
Oh,
you're doing this
there.
Stuff.
Yep.
I understand like Netflix and some of these other shows have changed it, but I want to know either the one you used to or the one that is not just like a straight stream. I want to know the shows you watch in the middle of the night that you never watch at any other time, but like 3 a.m. Cause there's two that immediately come to mind for the entirety of my life. I'm up at 3 a.m. I can't sleep. I can't go to bed. I'm on the couch.
Yeah.
I'm flipping through TV. There are two shows that I watch. I would say that at no other time of day. Come on. One is, like locked up and they go to the inside of those prisons and they talk to all the people about like what their life is like Jimmy has to spend 20 hours in his cell and they go through the whole thing. Only time I watch those is in the middle of the night. It's like never like 4 p.m. or in the whatever, only in the middle of the night. And the other one consistently has also been a show called Taskmaster. Have you ever watched it? It's a British-based TV show.
Taskmaster, no.
Yeah, that's another one that I don't tend to watch during, and I could watch it in the day. It's a middle of the night kind of TV show for me.
Yeah, so I normally, if I can't fall asleep in the middle of the night, normally I'm not going to turn on Netflix because then I feel like then I'm guaranteed to stay up for at least another hour.
You're looking for a show that you're not committed to.
So I try not to turn the TV back on at that point in time because then I feel like I'm going to be like you're going to even be more awake at that point. Show wise, Shark Tank's one.
That is on CNBC or something, just like in perpetuity.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So Shark Tank is one. Somebody said George Lopez for whatever reason.
Okay.
Forensic Files. There is always some sort of like Forensic Files or the one I was talking about.
Full House
on there.
Said.
Full House is an interesting one. I wouldn't necessarily.
Multiple George
that.
Lopez text.
Somebody said they watched Dr. Pimple Popper as a pop. Well, that's, you know, that's always like on TLC or something. I've never seen that show, but at least I've seen. Like a
no, I know. I mean, I know what you're talking about. Someone said they just turn on NFL Network, just watch draft stuff.
Jake over on Twitch said, I go to bed every night watching How I Met Your Mother. He's like, you know, but just forever. Like, what happens when you run out of it? Everyone has the rewatch show that's just like the, hey, I need some background TV. There's not something else on I'm trying to keep engaged in. Those are different to me than the 3 a.m. The 3 a.m. show is a very specific reference from the 816. Somebody mentioned the show Baggage. Oh, is that the one hosted by Jerry Springer?
Yes, it is.
I watched that show.
I've watched it before. Oh, well, how terrible is it? It's so bad.
You know what? Save it. That's tomorrow's random question.
What
would your case be?
Oh my goodness.
We almost have to make it that.
So bad.
God.
That
RIP,
show.
You know?
Yeah, I'll say. That show has been off the air for a bit, but Baggage. I absolutely have watched a couple episodes.
Someone's mentioning Ancient Aliens as one that they watch. American Greed, a show you've mentioned multiple times. Another one for me is Antiques Roadshow. I will watch Antiques Roadshow just like his background TV in the middle of the night. Well, think about it. Calming. They're just talking about like Georgian vases, you know, like if you're trying to like resettle into a mode, it's not the worst. It's not the worst.
True.
One.
Besides Joe Burrow highlights, what do you have?
Like watching late at night? I don't.
3 a.m. You hear your neighbors upstairs. You wake up because you hear them.
Maybe Drew sleeps great. Doesn't have this problem.
I normally fall asleep like a baby. Like when I did it, when I am actually in bed, turn the phone off and everything and go to sleep, I'm out.
Well, normally, yes. Normally I sleep through the night, but we're just saying like we've all had the night, right? Or whatever that you wake up.
Once a week, I probably can't sleep once a week. Is that bad? Oh,
my dog recently is on this terrible trip. I have no idea what the heck is going on with her. It waking up at 2:45 in the morning for the last week. It's awful. Awful.
So I don't turn the TV on. I just don't.
You just try to figure something else out? Top Gear from 2008 to 2016. That would have been on my list at some point. That's a
I mean, it's on board
British
me,
show.
I
they
I
watch
don't.
Like they drive like super cool cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Someone recommended adult content for you, Drew. I saw that text in a couple times.
Someone says they just listen. He just listens to his neighbors.
Yep, that's also on the text.
It's like white noise at this point, you know.
I did wake up this morning at 7:15,
and
I couldn't tell if something was going on, but I was like, I was like, are they doing this at
7:15? Good for them. Good for them.
I will do.
Woke up, popped a blue chew, and they were doing it.
I guess so.
Doing it after chewing it.
I will do poker sometimes too. That's a middle of the night one.
You just watch poker at 3 a.m.
Again, it's just like it's just noise, right? Like at that stage, and you know, like I like playing or any of those things. So like those old high stakes poker shows or those things sometimes. Because somebody mentioned like this is essentially what I'm convinced the entire Pluto app was made for. You don't just like get in there. Like one of the shows my wife watches in those scenario is like a Canadian design show from the early 2000s. Like everything they're designing in that show is so horribly dated that you wouldn't possibly consider it as a, but like that is clearly her, like it's the middle of the night, I can't sleep show.
913-586-7965. Someone says, in reality, if I wake up at 3 a.m., I'm smoking another blunt to go back to sleep.
I mean, I'm sure some of us, it might just be like scrolling, you know, like some people might just be scrolling TikTok or Twitter or, you know, like some people might just scroll their phone
Pawn
rather
Stars.
Than a show.
Yeah, Pawn Stars is another good one.
Yeah, it's fine. Even if you've seen him, you're like, oh, that's like an Antiques Roadshow vibe, right? Here's the item. We tell you what it's worth. We go to the next item, you know? Pretty inoffensive. Yeah, people mentioned Pawn Stars, Storage Wars. I rank those all, any of those History Channel shows, into the same category. That's it. That's my random question of the day. I just, you know, we'll save the baggage one for tomorrow, you know, Jerry Springer style.
Baggage?
Oh, no, tomorrow. Oh, wait, tomorrow's Wednesday. I'm getting my days confused. I was like, one of these days we have a short show. That's 2 days from now. We'll be at the Landing in Liberty, where you can win $965 and an autographed Chiefs helmet by correctly predicting what will take place in the first round. So I hope you see you all there for the first round coverage. Landing in Liberty. It's going to be a good time. You'd pointed out something was happening in baseball. And it, look, the Royals are off to kind of a rough start. Maybe the Royals do want a new stadium. Maybe they do get a new stadium at some point. But then there's going out sad. And I think, Gold, what's happening here in Tampa Bay is what we would call is going out sad.
So we all know that, unfortunately, with the hurricane, they are playing at a spring training complex, the Yankees spring training complex. And the first, 16 games of the year the Rays played at home or something, because they need to have more home games early in the year due to the heat and rain and everything later on. And the roof was torn off the Tropicana Stadium. And so now they are selling for $15 pieces of the destroyed roof to fans. Bad. You can purchase it for $15, and this went viral the other day. Now, I've been trying to track down if it says, like, are they donating some of the money to
you kinda
relief
have to,
efforts?
Don't you?
I haven't seen. Like, or are they just profiting off of this thing? Here we go. I got my answer. It will go, they claim proceeds will go to the Rays Baseball Foundation.
I guess, can I?
If it's going for a good cause, then what's the problem?
Who wants to just own a chunk of roof?
People own weird crap like this all the time. Weird history. Weird, you know what I mean? Like, people, it's the roof, so it's different. But how is it that much different than someone owning a piece of AstroTurf from an old football stadium or baseball stadium?
I don't know. This is trash, right? Like, the field, I understand that they were going to get rid of it. But at least it comes off, like, are they just selling it to me in whatever chunk it landed on the ground?
It's just square piece. The guy's holding it up in one of the photos. It's just, it's not even that big of a piece of roof. You know, it's just a pretty, I don't know, normal. I would say the length of, like, a normal laptop screen. You know, 15-inch piece of roof.
I think that's fine, I guess. I just feel like, don't sell. It got destroyed by a hurricane. Don't sell your busted up roof while you're in the middle of playing baseball games at the Yankees minor league facility. You couldn't even play at your own minor league facility. By the way, do the Royals go to Tampa Bay? I am kind of looking forward to
play them coming up. I don't know if it's on the road.
That though. And the A stadium. I'm curious about both freak shows this offseason where these teams don't have it. So if you think the Royal Stadium thing has been a bit of a mess this offseason, just wait. A
lot of overs in the A's games this year at home.
From the 913, the Royals sell fountain water. Have seen those. Haven't been tempted by that either, but
Carrington
clever
has
marketing.
A bottle of fountain water and a bottle of that in,
does he?
In his office.
He should be offering it up for the garage sale, unless he's really attached to it, you know? At Tampa Bay next week, 1 week from today. So we'll get to see him at George Steinbrenner Field. over there in Tampa Bay for a three-game stretch. Mm-hmm, I have no idea how hitter-friendly or not hitter-friendly that park is. But yeah, I just, there's some part about, like, I understand they're giving the money away from charity, so I don't want to be, like, overly critical, like, they can't sell it just to do it. It just feels like a weird thing to be like, hey, our roof was destroyed by the hurricane and we can't play in our stadium. Want to buy a piece of it for $15? It feels like
if someone wants to pay for it and it goes to charity, what's the big deal? What else do you want them to do? Just recycle these pieces of roofing? What do you want them to do?
In a lot of ways, I got to be honest, as much as it is for charity, it feels like I'm somehow saving them money rather than having to pay for the disposal cost here.
And it goes to their foundation. It does stuff in the community.
So it's okay that I'm saving them money? They could just donate the money.
This is where, yeah.
But you could also own a piece of memorabilia, I guess, whatever you want to, if you want to call it
It's
that.
Fine. It just felt like it was going out kind of sad. Also, are they ever going to play in Tampa again?
I don't know, man.
Aren't they trying to?
A lot of people want the owner to sell the team. Other owners.
I might have seen something that they were trying to rebuild the roof, or that was one of the, that was a pitch. I don't know if that's true or not.
The latest article about this is that they're spending $22 million to fix it. They voted.
That's what it is.
The city council voted.
The new stadium
7-1 to approve $22.5 million to begin the repairs. Yeah, they wanted a new stadium, and there were different people were on their county commissioner board or whatever, county commission board. And so, yeah, it changed the politics.
Man, they couldn't even get a new stadium built when their other one is in pieces. You want to talk about. And
well,
you and
Tampa
I,
not exactly known for supporting their baseball team.
No, no. But you and I have talked about this. The Browns had a report today where maybe they're going to do renovations. It says Chicago has had all kinds of trouble about their stadium location and they want a new stadium. It is, this is easily the hardest time in sports history to get a stadium built through public funding. I mean, easily the hardest time to do it. That's what makes the Royals and the Chiefs situation so fascinating. If you had to handicap right now, real quick, I know we don't have a lot of time. You had to handicap right now where you think the stadium locations are for both. Not state, locations. What would you guess? I would guess Legends for the Chiefs as they have favorite. Not heavy favorite, but favorite.
Yeah, I'm also there. And then I think
the Clay County site for the Royals is the
favorite?
The
issue with saying a different side of Missouri right now is what we know about Jackson County and the hurdle that is Frank White. And some of the reporting that's been out there in the last week or so about basically a limited timeline to, you know, can they potentially force him out, whatever it may be. If they can't get that resolved, then I don't know how you can say downtown anymore. And then that would leave one side in Missouri, and that would be the Clay County side. So I guess I'm kind of with you. But my only thing is, like, nobody can claim anything definitive. This thing has changed 100 times. About this side's the front runner. This side's the front runner. Now we're here. Like, this thing has changed so many times. We are now just waiting for June or July. That's the latest timeline that everybody's been hearing.
Yeah, it's a weird spot for both teams, and I'm curious to let it finish.
Coming up next, we'll get to the 1 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about the multiple situations the Chiefs have had after Super Bowls and how they've attacked it. Plus, we got one more mock draft founder coming your way.